It is another Monday night. We are live here on YouTube. I am the Solo Monster, and this is your Monday Night Raw review. You know, when you have, as WWE has, when you have a number of people that have longer title reigns, and we're coming off of Roman Reigns, right, 3.5 years as WWE champion, Gunther, 666 days as the Intercontinental Champion, and then we have Rhea Ripley, who as of today, 381 days as the Women's World Champion on Raw, you run the risk that catastrophe might hit. It's just the law of averages. At some point, something's going to go wrong. Somebody's going to get hurt. Unfortunately, the injury bug has bitten Rhea Ripley. And it was Mike Johnson of PWInsider.com earlier today who posted the news. He was the one who broke the news that there could be something wrong with Rhea, and there could be the chance that she might have to give up her title on Raw tonight. He said Women's World Champion Rhea Ripley was injured last week on Raw, and according to multiple sources, PW Insider has heard that the issue is severe enough that the talk internally is that Ripley may be forced to vacate her championship possibly as soon as tonight's Monday Night Raw. Unfortunately, the news turned out to be true, and Rhea Ripley did walk out on Raw tonight. Rhea Ripley did have to vacate the Raw Women's Championship, the World Heavyweight Championship, in the middle of the ring, 381 days into her reign as champion. She did not look very happy about it. Of course, nobody would be if they had to give up the title they've been defending now for 12 straight months. She had that great match with Charlotte last year at WrestleMania, and not that she's had the greatest run as the women's champion on Raw, but this is certainly not the way that she or WWE wanted this run to come to an end. This is a, in a lot of ways, this is a catastrophe for the women's division on Raw, because not only do they lose their women's champion, but they lose their most popular star. Forget the fact that Rhea is the women's champion. That almost doesn't even matter. The fact is that Rhea Ripley is one of the biggest stars on the entire brand. And so losing her is a huge blow to this show. This is a division on Raw that does not have very many stars in the women's division. Becky Lynch just lost to Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. Becky Lynch is only about 8 weeks away from her contract being up with WWE. And I have every expectation she's going to re-sign. I don't see her going anywhere. But she just lost at WrestleMania. And we're not going to see Becky on TV probably for a little while. I would be surprised if she was on TV next week. I'm not expecting it. Outside of Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch, I ask you, I put the question to you, who's the biggest star in the women's division on Raw? How many real stars do they have in that division right now, right? Not very many. And that's where the problem lies. They've done such a poor job. Triple H has done such a poor job over the past year of building up this Raw women's division that when somebody gets hurt, and that's somebody being Rhea Ripley, this is where you really feel it. And now they're going to have some work to do, unfortunately, because it sounds like she's going to be gone for a while. Otherwise, she would not have been forced to give up the title tonight the way that she did at the beginning of the show. But I will say, you know, at the same time, story-wise, you got to admit, story-wise, Liv Morgan went down with an injury last year. They credited Rhea Ripley as the one to injure her shoulder, and Liv was gone for many months, right? But they gave credit for the injury to Rhea Ripley. Liv Morgan comes back on what she calls her revenge tour. I'm coming after you, right? After WrestleMania, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after that women's world title. And so the segment last week where she threw a chair at Rhea's head, which was pretty fucking stupid. I don't know if Rhea just didn't get her hands up in time or what. But then she attacks her in the hallway, and it doesn't look like the injury happened on the chair shot, because that wouldn't make any sense. I mean, why? She gets hit in the head with a chair, and so she's going to be gone for months. That doesn't make sense. Where the injury may have happened, and they didn't specify, but where the injury may have happened is where she threw Rhea into the wall backstage, and she obviously injured her shoulder. But she goes after Rhea Ripley last week and now is being credited with being the person responsible for causing the end of Rhea Ripley's championship reign on Monday Night Raw. Story-wise, it's actually a great story. Liv got the revenge that she was looking for. Unfortunately, it's a real-life story. This is not the story that they were hoping for. I don't know what they're going to do next week as far as deciding how they're going to crown this new champion. All they told us is that next week on the show, we are going to have a new women's world champion. They did not say if it's going to be a gauntlet match. They did not say if it's going to be a multi-woman match. They did not say if it's going to be a battle royal. My money would probably be on battle royal if they're doing a one-night thing. But they did not say. The one thing that they could not do is have a tournament. Now, they could have a one-night tournament, but the one thing that they could not do was have a tournament spread out over several weeks or a tournament going into Backlash, because we are only about a month away, maybe less than a month away, from qualifying matches for the Queen of the Ring. They're bringing back King of the Ring, and they're doing Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia at the end of next month. You cannot have back-to-back women's tournaments like that. We're about to have qualifying matches for this other one. So having a drawn-out tournament was really not an option unless they wanted to have the women's world title at stake in the Queen of the Ring, which I actually think could have been an interesting idea. That's something that I would have entertained. But they're going to crown a new champion on TV next week. We'll see what they do as far as the format of it. And as far as, you know, the options that they have different options, which we'll get into here. But that was the big news coming out of tonight's show, was the end of Rhea Ripley's reign as champion. In the end, nobody was able to beat her. So she didn't get beat. She had to give her belt up. Unfortunately, it's more serious than people were expecting. The other big story coming out of the show tonight concerns the main event. They were in Montreal tonight. They were at the Bell Center. The last time WWE was at the Bell Center in Montreal was Elimination Chamber last year. Big main event. Roman Reigns defending the Undisputed title against Sami Zayn. Didn't work out for Sami that night. Tonight, he returns to the Bell Center as a champion in the main event, defending the Intercontinental title against Chad Gable. One of the all-time great entrances that you will ever see on Monday Night Raw. You will see Sami Zayn coming through the crowd, showered with just love and support from the fans, the Canadian flag around his neck. This was a fantastic entrance for Sami Zayn coming out for this main event. And when it was over, Sami Zayn is still the Intercontinental Champion, and Chad Gable, we were wondering what would happen with Chad Gable. Is he going to go heel? Is he going to cheat his way to a title win and win the Intercontinental title? He did not win the Intercontinental title, but he did, in fact, turn heel. We got the heel turn, but it was after the match was over. Chad Gable just couldn't stand it, couldn't take it. He raised Sami Zayn's arm, and he walked off, and we thought that was going to be the end of it. And then Sami Zayn goes outside the ring to hug his wife, Khadijah, who is sitting there in the front row, a better actor than most people they have on the roster that they employ. And Sami walks over to his wife, and he goes to hug her. And Chad Gable grabs Sami Zayn out of the embrace of his wife in mid-hug and delivers a German suplex on the floor, right in front of the man's wife. And then he proceeds to beat the living hell out of Sami Zayn. We got this great closing shot of him applying an ankle lock in the ropes to Sami Zayn as they went off the air, yelling and screaming down at him. So no more shushing, no more thank you. Alpha Academy, I don't know. I guess the Alpha Academy is going to have to find a new leader, or they're going to be closed for business. Chad Gable, we are about to get Wrestling Machine Chad Gable. This is a version of Chad Gable that I have been looking for a very long time. There's one key here. One key. You could turn this man heel. You can have him out there making him look like a killer against Sami Zayn. None of this matters. None of this matters if he doesn't start winning matches. This is yet another loss for Chad Gable. He lost to Gunther. He's lost a whole bunch of matches on Raw ever since. They did nothing to build him up for a rematch with Gunther at WrestleMania, which he ended up not getting. Right? He lost to Sami in that gauntlet. He lost to Sami again tonight. this man now has to start winning matches, or else this is all just hollow. This doesn't matter. People are not going to take this guy seriously if he can't fucking win. So I'm here for it. I'm here for the Chad Gable heel turn. What they have here in these two, I think, could be something that carries them for many more months. And you heard me use the analogy a few weeks ago. I likened it to Randy Orton and Christian back in 2011, who started something coming out of WrestleMania. It carried them all the way through SummerSlam. And it had Christian going from babyface to heel in the process. This kind of reminds me of that. Now the fun part begins. Let's see what they can do. Let's see what Triple H can do with Chad Gable now. Are they really serious about pushing this guy? We'll find out if he starts winning matches. Because otherwise, this will end up being one big waste of time. But this is your Monday Night Raw review. Again, it is April 15, 2024. I am Solomonster. Thank you guys for joining me. Top story, Rhea Ripley. Women's World Champion walking out to the ring. Did not look very happy. Why would she? She had her arm in a sling. And Adam Pearce was already standing in the ring. So you already knew coming into this, this is not going to end well here. If Adam Pearce is standing in the corner, he's there for a reason. So she's by herself. There's no other members of Judgment Day with her. She said after the attack last week by Liv Morgan, she's told that she is stuck on the bench for quite a few months. And then she got a little flustered and she said that she's angry because she's been told that she has to vacate the thing that matters the most to her. She has to vacate the Women's World Championship. And the crowd booed, and then the crowd chanted bullshit. Or bull, bull, bull. Because USA mutes it. So that's what it sounds like. Bull, bull, bull. So she said, I agree. She's like Sting at Victory Road when the crowd chanted bullshit at that Jeff Hardy finish. I agree, she said. I agree with you. She said the title means more to her than anything in her entire life. Poor Buddy Matthews. And she took the title and she laid it down on the mat. And the fans started a thank you, mommy chant. And she got angry and she said, this is all because of Liv's little stupid revenge tour. She could have actually had some respect for her if she decided to go face to face, but instead she had to attack her from behind. So she said this is a warning to whoever wins her women's championship. She said when she comes back, she is coming for blood. But she's not just going to be gone because of an injury. It's because when she finds Liv in the back, they're going to have to lock her up in a Montreal jail. I was in Montreal once before. I was not in a Montreal jail, so I don't know if that's worse than like a Mexican jail. I have no idea. But she said she was going to end up in jail if she saw Liv Morgan. So Liv Morgan's music hits, and she comes out laughing. She's being held back by security. And Rhea sees her. Rhea goes after her. Rhea also has to be restrained by security guards. And they never got at each other. They ended up playing Rhea's music. Rhea did headbutt one of the security geeks. That's about the only bit of physicality we saw with Rhea Ripley here. And that was it. That was the end of that. Now, they did not specify exactly what the injury is. Her arm was in a sling. So from that, we can deduce from that and what Liv Morgan said later in the show about a shoulder for a shoulder, it's a shoulder injury. Now, that could be anything. Is it a torn rotator cuff? Is it a separated shoulder? I mean, if it was a separated shoulder, I wouldn't see the need for her to have to vacate the title. So we know it's probably a shoulder situation, but we don't know exactly what the nature is. Again, everyone was sharing clips today on social media of the segment from Raw last week where the chair got thrown at her head. Now, she would have suffered a concussion. You're not going to take the title away from her. You could be cleared from a concussion in a week. You could be cleared from a concussion in 6 months. So if the injury happened not at WrestleMania, but in that segment on Raw last week, then it happened when she was thrown into the wall. And that's really all we have to go on so far. Now, I look at some of the other champions that we have had here in WWE. Roman Reigns was the champion for 3.5 years. In any given year that Roman Reigns was the undisputed champion, he had maybe 5 or 6 matches. you might be able to fit the total number of matches that Roman Reigns had in a given year on one hand, with the fingers on your hand. And if you have a sixth finger, which some people do, you could still fit it on one hand. The 30-day rule went out the window years ago. Gunther was the most defending champion that this company had during those 666 days. You had Roman Reigns barely defending the title. You had Rhea Ripley barely defending the title. How many times did we see Rhea Ripley on television or pay-per-views defending the women's world title? Logan Paul. Do I need to go on? Seth Rollins, right? MCL tear. They gave him 2 months off to heal up for WrestleMania. He didn't defend the title. He didn't have a single match during that time. So whatever it is, clearly it's serious enough that she's probably going to end up having surgery if she's going to miss that much time, and she's going to be on the shelf for quite a while. I'm just hoping it's nothing so serious that it's going to keep her out for up to a year. They said many months, but that's what they said for Jamie Hayter when Jamie Hayter got hurt. Where the hell's she been? Remember when Jamie Hayter hurt her shoulder? Oh, she's going to be gone for a while, but you know, maybe she'll be back end of the year, beginning of next year. Here we are. It's April. It's going to be May soon. We're halfway through April. I haven't heard the woman's name mentioned since last June. So I hope it's not a situation like that. And with Rhea, you know, with the Judgment Day, you could always find ways to keep her involved on TV in some way if they have to. So hopefully it's nothing quite that serious. Now, later on in the show, they did announce that they're going to crown a new champion next week. And I said, oh, okay. I thought they were going to drag this out a little bit. I thought maybe they would wait until Backlash or something. So we're going to get a new champion next week. I think that in this case, the most obvious choice may be the best choice. And the most obvious choice for who you put the women's title on would be Liv Morgan, because you've got the built-in story. You take a negative, you turn it into a positive. Liv Morgan has a lot of fans. She's got the Liv Army. And going into WrestleMania this year, there were a lot of people, when Liv came back earlier in the year, there were a lot of people who said that, well, it should be Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan at WrestleMania. Because the last time we saw Liv Morgan, she was injured by Rhea Ripley. So why not go for revenge, right? The fact is, that wasn't the big WrestleMania match. The big WrestleMania match was Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. It was not Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. Sorry. So they did the right match, and they had a great match. Or a very good match. So Liv Morgan now, the story is still the same, where she's on her revenge tour. Unfortunately, Rhea got hurt. Take a negative, turn it into a positive. The people in this building tonight in Montreal were already booing Liv. And she'll continue to get booed in whatever city they go to because people like Rhea Ripley. It doesn't matter if she's part of the Judgment Day or not. They love Rhea Ripley. That automatically makes Liv Morgan a heel. So embrace it. Let her go full psycho. And if she wins the women's world title, again, I don't know how long Rhea is going to be gone for. It could be 6 months, it could be 9 months, it could be 4 months. But when she's ready to come back, she's got a built-in story waiting for her, and she could take her title right back. That would be the easy path. That would be the obvious choice to make. It was not Liv's spot at WrestleMania because she was not the right person for that spot. But now you can make the argument that, you know what, it's Liv's time. And I'm not even the biggest fan of that idea because I think there probably are better options here, especially with the draft coming up. But I'm just saying that is the path of least resistance here, would be to put the title on Liv Morgan and embrace that heel turn. I think it comes down to two people. I think it comes down to Liv Morgan or, and again, make your choice here. It's like, you know, the Jigsaw from the Saw movies, Liv Morgan or Nia Jax, who got a promo later in the show. I almost forgot about Nia. You know, she wasn't on the WrestleMania card. Liv Morgan or Nia Jax are the obvious choices. If they're not waiting until the draft, if they're not waiting until post-draft, if they're not turning Queen of the Ring, which could have been co-branded into a tournament for the women's world title, which again is an idea that I could have gotten behind that idea. You could have had other people in that tournament, Bianca, Tiffany Stratton. I mean, you could have really had some fun with it. I mean, think about when they introduced the world heavyweight title in Saudi Arabia last May. They also co-branded it. You had guys from Raw. You had guys from SmackDown. It was a Seth Rollins, AJ Styles final. So they could have done the same thing here. But I think it's either Liv Morgan or Nia Jax. That's who I think they're ultimately going to go with. Some people were saying maybe, you call somebody over from SmackDown. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. Personally, look, someone like a Tiffany Stratton, I considered it. I thought about it before I knew they were doing this next week. I would rather see Tiffany. I think there's a very good chance, frankly, that she's going to win Money in the Bank this year. I don't think you need to rush into it with Tiffany Stratton, so I'm fine with having her win Money in the Bank or Queen of the Ring. So I don't have an issue with that. But it doesn't matter who they put the title on, regardless if it's Liv, if it's Nia, if Charlotte were if Charlotte was cleared, you know that she would be the women's champion next week. For fuck's sake, if Charlotte Flair was medically cleared, you know full well she'd be walking in there with the women's world title on her shoulder when she leaves the building next week in Columbus, I think they're in. And I know Bliss Fan is going nuts in the chat because it's Alexa Bliss's hometown next week. I think poor Bliss Fan's going to be in for a world of hurt next week. So it's not going to be Charlotte because she's not ready to come back yet. But the point is, it doesn't matter who it is. Triple H has a real problem on his hands here. And it needs to be addressed because the Raw Women's Division was already in a desperate state, even before Rhea Ripley got hurt. Rhea Ripley's been the champion for a year. I love Rhea Ripley. I think Rhea's great. Her run, very underwhelming. Not a great run as the women's world champion. In fact, when I think back to her run as the champion, her best work is when she won the title and when she retained the title. Those matches were a year apart. I couldn't tell you a single match that I look back on in that year in between those two matches that, oh, yeah, you know what? You got to go back and watch that Rhea Ripley match. Can't think of any. And so let's not pretend that all of a sudden this is a new problem now. This has been a problem with this division for a while. The draft is coming up in a couple of weeks. Triple H is going to have an opportunity here to push the reset button, stick the dynamite in there and hit the explosive charge and boom, blow the whole thing up. He's got to add new blood. He's got to move some bodies around. This Raw Women's Division needs to be reimagined. All right, is that what Hollywood does these days with all their movies? Everything gets reimagined. He's got to reimagine this Women's Division on Raw. And he's got to use the draft as an opportunity to do that. But for whatever reason, they're in an awful rush to crown a new champion next week instead of waiting another week. That's kind of weird to me because 2 weeks from now is the final night of the draft. So again, I'm kind of surprised that they're rushing into this next week and they're not waiting at least until the 29th to crown a new champion. But yeah, this division has been a glowing neon sign for a while. Let us hope that with this draft, Triple H finds a way to beef it up a little bit, hit the reset button, and finally get some interesting stories on Monday nights when it comes to the women. Because you watch these women's matches out there tonight, and they were in Canada tonight, okay? Whether it's Toronto or Montreal or wherever they may be. Usually these fans, they're going nuts for everything on the show. They're loud as fuck. Tonight it felt like they were asleep for half the show. And I can't say that I blame them because you had a bunch of heatless matches in the middle of the show with women who are not over yet. Hopefully they will be, but they're not over. And you have a division full of people like this. No matter how many times you put them out there, people don't seem to care about Zoe Stark and Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell and a lot of these people. Piper Niven, all talented, but they're not getting over. That's what I mean when I say you lose someone the caliber of a Rhea Ripley and it fucking hurts. Because where are the stars? They're not there. Becky Lynch is disappearing for a while. Charlotte Flair is hurt. Rhea Ripley is hurt. And they're in trouble if they don't do something to fix this in these next couple of weeks. Now, Rhea was shown walking backstage. And she ran into the rest of the Judgment Day. They all shared a group hug. Damian Priest said that they know that she'll make Liv Morgan pay and come back more badass than she is now. Priest told her that they love her, and Rhea talked about keeping the Judgment Day on track while she's gone, and she and Dom shared a moment. Speaking of injuries, since we're talking about injuries so much, Sheamus is back. Only he's not on SmackDown. Sheamus now is on Monday nights, at least for another 2 weeks, unless he gets drafted. So weird when they debut people from NXT or somebody returns like Sheamus tonight, and then the draft is next week. Like, is there draft protection involved here, or is he going to go right back to SmackDown? But Sheamus was out next. He had a match with Ivar. 8 months. I didn't realize it had been that long. It felt more like 4 or 5 months to me, but evidently Sheamus has been out for 8 months. They said something about a neck injury, and I think he had surgery. I didn't know it was that serious, so he had neck surgery. He's been on the shelf. Not only did Sheamus make his return tonight, he brought his old theme with him. Too many limes. Yes, too many limes. Back again. I don't give a shit what the actual words are. Forever and a day, it will always be too many limes. I don't give a shit. Fucking great. I love this song. Now, what they did was they kept the beginning of his most recent song, and then it transitioned. It's kind of like what they did with The Rock, the Hollywood Rock remix, where they kept his most recent song, and then it transitions into Hollywood Rock. They did a similar thing here with Sheamus's theme. But yes, Lobsterhead. Too many limes and Lobsterhead. Now you have fans who are like, what the fuck is he talking about? Too many limes and Lobsterhead. It's all I hear when I hear the music. He was able to, you know what the most impressive part about this whole thing was? He was able to avoid Def Rebel. He avoided the Def Rebel curse. Good on him. So Sheamus comes out there, and he looks a little soft. He looks a little softer than the last time we saw him. Last time we saw him, he was kind of cut. He's not as ripped. But again, the man had neck surgery. He's been out hurt. I don't know when he got cleared to train. I don't know. So it's understandable. But he got a great reaction from the crowd. Everybody, he was clearly a babyface here. Everybody was happy to see him. Early in the match, he hit Ivar with an avalanche white noise. Sheamus hit a power slam and the 10 beats, but Ivar dropped him with a roundhouse kick and then a splash off the top rope for a two count. Ivar tried a springboard crossbody, and he fell a little short, and Sheamus gave him a knee strike anyway on the way down. Sheamus then pulled down his knee pad. He had a knee strike that Cole said he calls the kneecap, and then he followed that with the brogue kick for the win. Great to have Sheamus back. I was starting to think that he might be gone. He might be like Copeland. You know, we hadn't heard anything about him. To my knowledge, he had been cleared a while ago. And when they didn't involve him at all at WrestleMania, I thought that was very strange, because I thought he was medically cleared long before Mania. And then we didn't see him. And I thought, well, you know, his contract was supposedly coming due. As so many contracts are, we hear about Rollins and Becky and Drew McIntyre. And I thought there was a chance he was going to leave. But I'm glad to see him back. And more importantly than that, even, I'm glad to see him on Monday Night Raw. Because you know what else is on Monday Night Raw? The Intercontinental title is on Monday Night Raw. And for all this talk about Cody finishing his story, Sheamus has a story of his own that is unfinished, and that is him winning the Intercontinental title for the very first time. He still has not done that. That's one title he still has yet to win. And as long as he is on the same brand with that title, when the time is right, he can win the Intercontinental title. Maybe there's a story there they can build for him for next year's WrestleMania. But when the match was over, Sheamus was all sweaty. He ran over to the announcers. He put his arms around Pat McAfee. Put his arms around Michael Cole. He was very excited to be back. And all the lobster heads in the crowd were cheering Sheamus. Out to the ring next after this was Triple H. Triple H came out for a very special presentation. Adam Pearce was already in the ring. And they had the red carpet rolled out in the ring. And there was a table. Or not even a table, but it was like a stand. In the ring that had a new championship belt, or belts, hidden under a black tarp. Gee, I wonder what they're unveiling. It's pretty clear what they were unveiling here in this segment. This gave Michael Cole yet another chance, in case they haven't said this enough in the last week, 2 weeks. that it's the Triple H era. It's a new era here in the WWE. And Pat McAfee said that Triple H was terrorizing everybody here. Very good, Pat. Very good. I get the reference. So Triple H said that it was only 8 days ago that we were in the midst of the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Kingdoms fell, nightmares began, and a whole new era started. And then Adam Pearce took over, and he said that the new era, a new era, began for sure for the tag team division. And they walked into WrestleMania with one set of tag team champions, and they walked out of WrestleMania with two sets of tag team champions. And then they introduced the reigning Raw tag team champions, The Miz and R-Truth, who came out with their red silver dollar belts. So Triple H said, he looked at Truth and he goes, let me be the first to say, what's up? And congratulations. He said that from a personal perspective, seeing R-Truth have that WrestleMania moment was, to quote The Miz, awesome. But here's the thing. It's a new era. And if you are going to represent Raw, then they need to do it in a way that represents an all-new era. So going forward, they will be known, the titles, actually the champions, are going to be known as the World Tag Team Champions, because of course we have the World Heavyweight title, and we have the Women's World Heavyweight title. So for the sake of consistency, we now have the World Tag Team Champions here on Monday nights, and the World Tag Team Champions are going to be wearing these. Those are the new Raw Tag Team title belts. And, well, they are a definite upgrade, I will say. They are a definite upgrade from the Spartan belts. It's an improvement. I mean, they're nice. I'm not saying they're not nice. I, personally, am just not a fan of all the titles looking the same. I know they're going for consistency. That's why they changed the name of them. They want everything to look the same. They want everything to be consistent. I just think it's fucking lazy, personally. I liked it when the individual titles, you know, the singles titles, the tag titles, they all had their own identity. They all had their own look, their own shape, color. And so I'm not a fan of that aspect of things. But I like them. I mean, you know, again, and I'll give you another look here. Now those are the tag belts. This right here is a better look, because they already put it up on WWE Shop. They did not waste any time getting this shit up on the merch site. So you can buy these right now. I didn't check to see what the price is. I'm sure it's probably $600. But that's a better look. And again, it's not a bad looking belt. It's just that, again, there's a sameness to it. Now, as I said, they've also gone back to the World Tag Team title days of 2002. When we remember, we had the World Tag Team titles on Raw, we had the WWE Tag Team titles on SmackDown, which is what I figure they're going to call Theory and Waller's titles on Friday. I can already picture we're going to get miniature versions of the Undisputed title that are going to be awarded to Grayson Waller and Austin Theory on Friday night. You can see it coming from a mile away. We're going to get that presentation on Friday, I'm sure. So R-Truth acted all amazed by what was going on here. He talked about magic tricks that he has seen over the years. He said that he's never seen a magic trick like that. He said Triple H made the title belts appear out of thin oxygen. Miz said that Triple H is not a magician. Truth said that that's exactly what a magician would say. He said he doesn't trust magicians after Little Jimmy. He said everybody was once able to see Little Jimmy. And Miz mentioned Triple H's name, and Truth says, where is he? Where's Triple H? He pretended like he didn't see Triple H. So Triple H, he says that he's a crafty little genie. And Truth tells him that I see right through you. He referred to him as Tommaso Ciampa, because that's been the joke, that when Truth sees Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, he thinks that they're DX. He thinks they're Shawn Michaels and Triple H. So now he sees Triple H and he thinks that it's Tommaso Ciampa. That's the joke. So The Miz woke up the crowd because they really weren't reacting to any of this, and who the fuck can blame them? He mentioned Montreal by name, which led to the fans singing the Olé, Olé, Olé song. Miz talked in French. I mean, man's married to Maryse. I'm sure he knows quite a bit of French. He spoke in French to Truth about the new belts. And then Truth finally understood that the new belts actually belong to them. That they're their new belts. Triple H finally said, look, can I leave? I was asking the same question. I was like, can I leave? So he took the old belts from Truth and Miz and then presented them with the new ones. Triple H left the ring. Adam Pearce then asked Truth, why would you make the boss leave? He left. And then he announced that there would be a triple threat match up next to determine the new number one contenders for the tag team titles. I like R-Truth. I do. And usually his comedy gets a reaction. This was brutal. This was absolutely brutal. If they would have just ended it once they pulled the tarp off and they showed the belt and then they just moved on to the announcement of the triple threat number one contenders match, that would have been fine. But they had to do comedy. It didn't hit. I thought this would never end. The crowd really wasn't reacting to it. They weren't laughing at it like they actually found any of this shit funny. This was so bad. You know what this was? This was something that I would expect Vince McMahon to script himself and put in the show because he thinks it's funny. This was right out of the Vince McMahon era. And this is in a segment where we had Michael Cole on commentary talking about it's a new era. It's the Triple H era. And then by the time that, like when the segment started, it started in one era. And by the time the segment was over, we ended up backwards in the old era. That's not the direction we want to be going in here. We want to go forward. We don't want to go backwards. This was terrible. This was fucking awful. So that took us into a triple threat match with DIY. We had the New Day, and we had the Creed Brothers. This was to crown number one contenders to the Raw. I'm going to keep saying Raw tag team titles. To the World, the New World tag team titles. You know, it's triple threat mania in this company right now. We had two triple threat matches on SmackDown, which leads now to LA Knight against AJ Styles in a number one contenders match this Friday. We had a triple threat match here. I'm guessing we're going to get another one on SmackDown this Friday for the WWE tag team titles. Now, as the New Day made their entrance, we had a little something that happened here during the entrances to this match. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods are walking out, and there was another glitch, and they flashed very quickly. They flashed a QR code on the screen. If you caught the QR code, if you were able to scan the QR code, it takes you to this image here. It actually takes you to two things. It takes you to this image that you see here on your screen, and below it is a video. Now, in this image, you're listening to this and not watching this, it's got a man. He looks like something out of Greek times. There is a lit torch on top of a Roman column, and there is a buzzard on a pole. That sounds like something Vince Russo would book. It's literally what I'm looking at. It's a fucking bird on a pole. Either that or he's shitting out a stick. But this is what they showed if you scan the QR code. But then beneath it is a video that you can play. And in the video, it's got a message. And the message says, time to wake up. Take my hand. Things will be better. Trust me. So I think we're getting more than just Uncle Howdy and Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss and Uncle Howdy, something's going on there. Clearly, they're bringing both of them back as part of the same story. But I think, and I said this in the podcast yesterday, I think we're probably going to get the full Wyatt Six. We never did get the Wyatt Six. Now, Bray Wyatt was not around long enough the second time around to have a faction of his own, to have a Wyatt Six, even though they trademarked it or copyrighted it or whatever. Trademarked it, I guess. And so you heard the stories about Eric Rowan pulling out of some commitments that he had, and he was spotted in Pittsburgh, which is where WWE sends everybody to have their medicals done. So it looks like we're going to get some kind of a group, and I would bet that we'll get Eric Rowan and maybe Braun Strowman too. Braun Strowman is not that far off from being medically cleared. You know, he's not there yet. He just posted an update recently. He's not cleared yet. It hasn't been a full year. You know, he had fusion surgery, but he's on his way. Someone wrote into the mailbag in the podcast yesterday. They threw the names Nikki Cross and Dexter Lumis in there. Where the hell have they been? When was the last time we saw Nikki Cross or Dexter Lumis on TV? They're under contract. They're being paid. They're not being used in NXT. I don't even know if they've been used on Main Event. I don't know where the fuck Lumis has been. Maybe they've been holding them back. All these creepy characters are going to put them all in a faction together, and you'll get your Wyatt Six. We'll see. But obviously, this is all tied into Uncle Howdy. Alexa Bliss, I'm sure, is going to be tied into this as well. You know, the thing I'll say about it is this. When Bray came back the second time, I was not a fan of some of the stuff that he was doing. The Mountain Dew pitch black match, I thought that whole thing was stupid. I mean, there was stuff, there was good stuff, and there was bad stuff. You take the good with the bad. I don't know if they're going to continue the Uncle Howdy stuff. I don't know that all of it is going to be good. I don't think all of it is going to be bad. The one thing that I think is cool, and the one thing that I am happy to see, I like the fact that they are keeping Bray's memory alive by continuing this stuff. Bo Dallas was going to be part of it. You know, he's been under contract this entire time. He was Uncle Howdy. Well, he's still there. He's still under contract. And so this is their way of kind of carrying on his memory by using these characters and using these, you know, creepy QR codes and stuff. I like the fact that they're you know, keeping his memory alive in that way. You know, Bray was a very creative guy. He had all kinds of ideas, all kinds of wacky and wild characters. Some of it's going to hit, some of it's not going to hit. But if you've got people that you're not using right now, and you've got this cool idea, then why not try something? Why not put them to work here and do something with these people? So throw Nikki Cross in there, and throw Dexter Lumis in there, and Rowan, and Strowman, and, you know, get a whole thing going. Why not? I mean, don't forget, the White Rabbit stuff was huge for them. Now, it's not the sort of thing you want to beat to death by doing it all the time, but that whole campaign, all the viral stuff with the QR codes and the rabbit and everything was huge for them on social media. So I'm not surprised they're trying something like that again. So for the triple threat match here, Miz and R-Truth, they stayed out there at ringside to observe. DIY sent the Creeds to the floor, and then they dove out onto them, but the Creeds caught them. Here comes the New Day, though. They hit stereo flip dives onto both teams and wiped them out. That took us into a break. The fans at one point during this match, they broke into a Triple H chant when Tommaso Ciampa was in the ring. I did find that mildly amusing. So Ciampa played into it. He did a crotch chop. Crowd was pretty quiet for this match. They were pretty quiet for a lot of matches on this show. Honestly, everything except the main event. Every match on this show except the main event, this crowd was dead. Or that's how it came across on TV. It's almost like they were saving all of their energy for Sami Zayn at the end of the show. You know, like, oh, we're just here for Sami. You know, we're going to support our guy. And then they came alive. Here, they didn't really seem to care all that much. They showed a little bit of life when Julius Creed handed out belly-to-belly overhead suplexes to Woods and Kingston and Ciampa and Gargano. He would kip up. Each time he'd hit one, he'd kip up, hit another one. Kip up, hit another one. This guy's like a machine. Imagine him in a singles match with Chad Gable one day. Could be a pay-per-view match one day. Heel wrestling machine Gable against babyface wrestling machine Julius Creed. It could happen one day. I'll tell you what, Julius Creed has a hell of a lot better shot at becoming a world champion one day than Chad Gable does. So we had Julius giving Kofi a superplex. Xavier Woods, though, then hit Julius with a flying elbow drop. And then as he sat on top of Julius and he went to pin him, here comes DIY. They catch Woods with their meet in the middle finish and they pinned him to become number one contenders. I was thinking, well, maybe they'll do it at Backlash. And then they went and they announced that the match is happening on TV next week. So again, they're not wasting any time here. We crown a number one contender. We have a vacant title. You do it on TV next week. They want to get this shit resolved as quickly as possible. So that match is happening next week. I can't imagine Miz and Truth are dropping the belts this soon after they just were presented with brand new belts. And the fact that they're doing it on TV and they're not even waiting until Backlash. So that's going to be a Miz and an R-Truth win. And I don't know where that leaves DIY. I would think that the best thing for them, honestly, would be to be drafted to the other show. Send them to SmackDown. You know, they've had a few chances now. They wrestled the Judgment Day for the tag team titles, and they lost. They were part of the ladder match at WrestleMania, and they lost. They're probably going to lose next week. If they lose next week, I think you got to move them over to SmackDown. We got footage of CM Punk and Jack Perry. I'm kidding. That was last week. No. This is Monday night. This is not Wednesday night. So tonight we got footage of CM Punk and Drew McIntyre from Raw last Monday. See, CM Punk was all over television last week. They showed him costing Drew McIntyre the chance to become number one contender and then laughing as he was holding Drew's foot. He cost him the match last week. So now we come back live. And Drew is watching the replay from last week on a television as Jackie Redmond is trying to interview him. And Jackie says he was laughing. And he goes, well, yeah, that's not really the reaction I was expecting to see out of you. And then he got angry and he gave the television a claymore kick and he knocked the whole thing over. And that was all we saw of Drew McIntyre on the show tonight. We had Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri against Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Maxine gave Indy a flying crossbody and then a perfect plex for two. Look at this. How about Maxine Dupri? She's learning. She's learning new moves. Soon she's going to be out there. She's going to be hitting Phoenix splashes. She's going to be hitting destroyers, 630s. It's only a matter of time. Maxine tagged out, but the referee did not see the tag because Indy Hartwell distracted him. So when Ivy Nile came rushing into the ring, that's just when the referee turned around. He grabbed her and moved her back to her corner. While that was happening and Ivy was protesting, Indy, who was not the legal woman in this match, booted Maxine. And this was all behind the referee's back. Indy dragged Candice into a cover, and they picked up the win. So Indy Hartwell has moved to the dark side. She has succumbed. Her conscience has been, preventing her from cheating and going along with what Candice has been doing. And we all knew that at some point this is what was going to happen. And so it's happened now. And so now her tag team partner, her bad habits have rubbed off on Indy Hartwell. And I guess now they're technically a heel team now. And now we're going to be treated to several more rematches between these two teams that nobody will care about. But at least Maxine is getting her reps in. Only way that she will ever get better is if she gets to go out there and work. It's the only way. So at least she's getting something out of this. I can't say that I'm getting anything out of this, but at least she's getting something out of it. Now, Michael Cole said that Damian Priest was the first Puerto Rican-born world champion in WWE in more than 50 years. That would be the first since Pedro Morales. Photos were shown of Priest posing for a photo with Aaron Judge at Yankee Stadium. They aired a video package. I thought this was very well done. I didn't get the name of the song that they used for it. They did credit the artist, but very good video package going all the way back to the beginning of Damian's career when he was 100 pounds heavier. He was a big guy. You look at Damian Priest back then and Damian Priest today, it looks like two completely different people. So they had some highlights of him back then and talked about how he used to be homeless all the way up until last weekend when they showed him running out to cash in his Money in the Bank at WrestleMania and winning the World Heavyweight title. Back live inside the Judgment Day clubhouse, Priest fired everybody up except Rhea, who had already left. He told Dominic that he's going to go out there, Dominic is, and take care of Andrade, and JD McDonagh is going to go out there to help make sure it gets done. So off they went, and that left Balor and Priest. And Balor said, hey, I think our focus should be on getting our tag team titles back. And He questioned why he was facing Jey Uso tonight. So Priest told Balor that he needed him to teach Jey the meaning of the word loss. And then he said that he would teach Jey a lesson himself at Backlash, because they're going to be wrestling for the world title. Priest asked Balor, are you good with that? And Balor laughed and said, of course. And they bumped fists. Footage aired from earlier in the day. This is also, I liked them doing this. They show Chad Gable earlier in the day, empty arena, 3:45 or 3:47, I think the timestamp said, in the afternoon, working out in the ring with the Creed brothers. Jackie Redmond walks up to the side of the ring. Gable comes over to go talk to her. And he said his title match tonight with Sami Zayn means everything to him. She asked Gable, how are you preparing to face a very pro-Sami Zayn crowd here in Montreal? And Gable said that, when I made the Olympic team in 2012, I was a Minnesota guy in Iowa. He said, there wasn't one person in the building that wanted me to win, but I did. He said, Sami let him see his weakness during training, and now he will expose him. We had Dominic Mysterio one-on-one against Andrade. Rey Mysterio, I got to mention this. So Rey Mysterio did an interview, and I didn't get the name of the podcast, but last week, you know, promoting WrestleMania and everything, Rey did an interview with a podcast and was asked if he had any regrets about the custody of Dominic ladder match that he had with Eddie Guerrero back at SummerSlam in 2005. Did he have any regrets about that match? And Rey Mysterio, he responds by saying he regrets that he even had the match, and if he had it to do all over again, he would have just told Eddie, keep him. So Dom was right this entire time. Every time he would come out, he would talk about what a deadbeat his father was. What a turn of events. How great would it be if the story ends up where Rey really was a deadbeat dad? He beat his son. He was a piece of shit. He wasn't there for him. And Dominic was telling the truth this entire time. What a twist that would be. The crowd was very quiet for this. Late in the match, Dom hit what Pat McAfee called a This Country Destroyer on the apron, since we got a Canadian destroyer in Canada. Dom got Andrade back inside, covered him, only got a near fall. He kicked Andrade into position for a 619. And he went for the move, but Andrade caught him coming off the ropes with a back elbow. So Andrade then ends up hitting his double underhook twisting slam. Again, he calls it the message, gets the pin. After the match, McDonough attacks Andrade. Dominic holds Andrade while McDonough's hitting him with right hands. Here comes Ricochet to make the save, and the crowd goes mild as Ricochet hits the ring, chases off the Judgment Day. He and Andrade shake hands. I will say this match had something in common with Canada. One thing that they had in common, these two, this match with Canada. Very cold. Ice cold. Nobody cared. And it wasn't a bad match. I thought the match itself was fine. It was a match. It was an okay, perfectly acceptable, average television match. Nobody has really been reacting in the way to Andrade that I think that they would want them to. And it's because Andrade is very aimless right now. He comes out there. We had some vignettes many weeks ago from him talking about, I think he talked a little bit about his family history, and, you know, that was good, but they haven't done anything like that since. And we still really don't know what is his deal? What is his mission here? What is his goal? Why is he back? Is it just to be the champion, or, you know, he came back. The last time we saw him with Zelina Vega. He had somebody there to kind of assist when it came to promos. I still think that's a huge weakness for him. I think it's much better if they have somebody with him. Zelina would be great, but it could be anybody as a mouthpiece. It could be MVP, who's not doing anything. They have him with Omos, who's not doing anything. So Andrade is just, he's just listless. He's aimless. There's no reason for anybody to really care. And that's part of the problem. Dominic usually is good for at least a lot of heat. But again, it was just a very cold match, I thought. We had Piper Niven and Chelsea Green against Caden Carter and Katana Chance. Michael Cole noted that both teams are former tag team champions, said the match is important because they are jockeying for position to earn another shot. Yes, at those very prestigious women's tag team titles. There was a spot where Carter had Chelsea Green on her shoulders, and Katana Chance leapt off the top rope, jumped off of Chelsea's back, and tried a flying crossbody. Piper Niven, though, caught her and hit a fallaway slam. Niven then broke up a Carter pin attempt by hitting her with a running crossbody block. As soon as she hit the running crossbody block, Chelsea Green folded up Carter and got the pin and won the match in 2 minutes. And that was the end of that. Not much else to say. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, coming out of WrestleMania weekend, I can say that my social battery is basically running on empty right now. This time of year for me is usually my busiest. There's so much going on. I don't leave enough time for anything else, and I tend to not be as social until the weather gets nicer anyway. It could be very easy to spread myself thin with work. I need to change that. For some of you, your social battery may be low because you don't like hanging around other people to begin with, or maybe life just has you very worn down. Therapy can give you the self-awareness that you need to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Since you first started hearing me talk about BetterHelp, I've gotten messages from people that have taken advantage of the service telling me how much it's really helped them with whatever problems they may have been dealing with. Therapy in general can have so many benefits for you. Just having someone to talk to and to get that guidance. Maybe you don't have the motivation or the confidence on your own or the knowledge even on how best to deal with the stress and the anxiety that you're probably going through right now. It can be life-changing for you. And it isn't just for people that have been through a trauma in their lives, but it can certainly help you there too if you have. If you're thinking of starting therapy, do yourself a favor. Give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be flexible enough to fit into your schedule. To get started, you just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and they make it incredibly easy to switch therapists at any time for no additional charge if you need to do so. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/solomonster. If you've been thinking about it, seriously, don't put it off. That's what the offer is there for. Make sure you take advantage of it. BetterHelp.com/solomonster.
They aired highlights of Rhea Ripley vacating the women's title, for those who missed it at the beginning of the show. And then they cut back live to where Kathy Kelly was in the back to interview Liv Morgan. Who had a big smile on her face. She got booed when they showed her. And she said she was confused by that reaction. Everybody in the back was mad at her, but she wasn't the bad guy. She wondered, where was this sympathy for me when Rhea injured my shoulder and put me on the shelf for 8 months? She called it karma at its finest. She said her revenge tour was not over. Her revenge tour ends only when she becomes the women's world champion. And she had a, I don't know if you would call it a shirt, but she had a top on that said, I think, the Liv Morgan revenge tour on it. And so just like that, snap your fingers, this woman is a heel. She didn't have to do anything. Didn't have to do anything other than just put Rhea Ripley on the shelf. That's how popular Rhea Ripley is. And she automatically gets booed. So they've been handed a gift here because now they could take Liv Morgan and they could do something with this. They could take this and try to turn this into something. And they don't have to work very hard to do it because the crowd already, and I guarantee you the reaction is going to be the same in a lot of the other cities they go to. She'll get, you know, a negative reaction in most of these places. As I said earlier, I am not saying that Liv Morgan is not popular. She is. Liv Morgan is popular. She's got a lot of her own fans. A lot of these people are such big fans of hers that they allowed themselves to believe that she was the right person for the match at WrestleMania. She wasn't. That was not her spot. Now a spot is opened up. And now you can do something with this because she is popular. And there is a story that they're going to come back to when Rhea Ripley is ready to return. So I reiterate again, the safe choice, the most obvious choice would be for her to win that title next week. You've got Liv Morgan. You've got Nia Jax. I don't really see any of the other people active on that Raw women's roster right now that are realistic. Unless Becky Lynch returns next week in a panic, They bring her back and they put the belt on her. Which, frankly, I don't think that's the answer. So, outside of those two, who else is there? They're not waiting until the draft. Who else is there? I don't even have to look at the chat to know what Bliss fan is going to say, but we'll forget that for a second. It's Liv Morgan or Nia Jax. The undisputed WWE champion Cody Rhodes was out to the ring next. Finally, somebody to wake this crowd up. They actually reacted. They did the whoa. They cheered for Cody. Loudest reaction on the show up to this point. The fans sang the Olé song. Cody asked his usual question. What do you want to talk about? Only this time he asked it in French. He wanted to thank Adam Pearce for allowing him here on Raw, even though he is a Friday night guy now. May not be for very long. I think there's a chance he may be drafted to Monday Night Raw. If Cody gets drafted to Raw, and I could see AJ getting drafted to Raw as well, the Judgment Day has to go to SmackDown. The Judgment Day has been ruling over the Raw brand now for over a year. So it kind of fits. If they wanted to do a swap, and they would have to move the World Heavyweight title to Fridays, the WWE title to Mondays, I think there's a very good chance that's what's going to end up happening. So Cody said that can't celebrate WrestleMania forever. He spoke of the match coming up on SmackDown this Friday to determine a number one contender. He goes, it could be LA Knight, everybody cheered, or it could be AJ Styles, and everybody booed. He wanted to reflect a little bit, though, and he said that there was a man that he could talk about for hours, and that man said that he would be his shield. And Cody said that person was a man of his word, and then he thanked Seth Rollins. And the crowd broke out into a chant of, thank you, Seth. Cody said The Rock also did some reflecting yesterday. He did. He posted a new social media video. And this one was very different. He was at home in his gym, but it was just as The Rock. He wasn't playing Final Boss. He wasn't cussing every other word. He was talking about the training camp that he had for 10 weeks or 12 weeks, you know, leading up to WrestleMania. Really, it was a video to let everybody know. I'm not even joking. Like, this is literally what he announced in the video, that he did not get injured at WrestleMania. I swear to God, I laughed. Because what was I talking about going into WrestleMania? I said, this man has not wrestled a real full match in 11 years. And the last time he did, he tore multiple muscles in his body, had to delay the filming of his next movie. He had to have surgery. He had a hernia. He had this. He had that. Now he's 11 years older. He's still a big guy. It would be a miracle if he doesn't come out of the show without tearing something or hurting himself in some way. And so he put a video together to let everybody know, I did not get injured. Crack open the Terramana. Let's have a celebration. The Rock didn't get hurt. It's a good thing he didn't get hurt. I thought he looked good out there. And so Cody said that Rock talked about the 10-week training camp. He flew people in, other wrestlers, to spar with him. He said he doesn't think that Rock has one more match left in him. He said he thinks The Rock has a lot more than that. He said that in typical manic Rock fashion, Rock claimed that he would make Cody bleed again. And Cody said, Rock is probably right. Maybe he will bleed. But no amount of training or preparation could stop the fact that if he's going to bleed, then The Rock is going to bleed with him. I know that Rock likes to build to these WrestleMania matches. I'm a little worried because in that same Instagram post, in the text of the post, or maybe it was in the video too, but he specifically talked about, like the next WrestleMania. And Meltzer had that report in the Observer this past week, where he said that the idea that Rock wants is he wants Cody at WrestleMania 41. Because I'm thinking, okay, this is the SummerSlam match. And then as this Bloodline Civil War stuff unfolds, you do Rock and Roman at next year's WrestleMania. Meltzer's talking about, Rock and Cody is what Rock would like to do at 41, and then you could always leave 42 open for Rock and Roman. I mean, that's a long time from now. Before you even get to Rock and Roman, you're going to do two more years of this stuff. I mean, that's asking a lot. So his schedule may not allow it. I still say Rock and Cody is the SummerSlam match it should be. I don't know if it will be or not, but that's what I would do. But Rock, you know, he talked about the long game. He loves playing the long game, so it may well be 41, Rock and Cody. Cody said he was confused by what happened on SmackDown with the Bloodline because Tama Tonga showed up, and yet Roman Reigns was nowhere to be found. And then Cody introduced Jey Uso. Cody noted that Jey is the number one contender for the World Heavyweight title, said that nobody deserves it more than him. Cody said that Jey helped him finish his story at WrestleMania. Now Jey was about to wrestle Finn Balor, and the rest of the Judgment Day would not be far behind. So he would love to have Jey's back just the way that Jey Uso had his back at WrestleMania. Jey said he appreciates it, but he's got to do this on his own. Cody said he understood, and he wished Jey good luck, and then they hugged, and then Cody went to go leave the ring, and he stopped, and he said, "One more thing, until we yeet again." Oh, God. Dad joke Cody is here. Surest way to start turning this guy heel is to go overboard with the dad jokes. So Nia Jax was interviewed in the back by Kathy Kelly, who asked what Rhea Ripley relinquishing her championship means for the women's division. And Nia said that she doesn't give a damn about Rhea Ripley. She said that there are two types of people on the planet. Those who fear Nia Jax and those who learn to fear Nia Jax. I, for one, feared Nia Jax also for many years, anytime that they said her match was coming up next. She's gotten better since then. But there was a time where they would put the graphic up, and I, too, feared Nia Jax. She said the title is hers. She may be right. She may well be right. Jey Uso against Finn Balor. Balor booted Jey to the floor early on, and then he mocked the yeet dance while he was standing on the ropes. After a break, Damian Priest was shown watching backstage in the clubhouse. He said, "I think I'm going to go say hello." And he took his World Heavyweight title and he proceeded to make his way out to the ring. Jey caught a charging Finn Balor with a super kick. Balor came back with a drop kick and then went for the double stomp off the top. Jey, though, avoided it and then speared him. Jey went up top, hit a top rope splash, and he scored the pin. Not much to this. But there was no doubt about the outcome because Jey Uso was number one contender for the World Heavyweight title. I know they beat Sami Zayn on TV after he became number one contender for the Intercontinental title, which is why Bronson Reed is going to be in line for a title shot very soon. But it would be very stupid to beat Jey Uso between now and Backlash. After the match was over, Damian Priest came to the ring. He got up on the apron. He and Jey were staring each other down. Priest got into the ring, raised his title up in the air. JD McDonagh attacked with Dominic as well. They attacked Jey from behind. Balor joined in. They sent Jey out to the floor. Dom jumped off the apron, but right into a super kick. And Jey was able to get away from them. He hopped the barricade. He ran up the steps into the crowd, exited onto the concourse. Now, they kept the camera with him. They kept the camera shot on him as he walked through the concourse. All the fans on the concourse are going crazy. He's slapping hands with the fans. There was one fan who did not get out of the way. And so Jey just shoved him out of the way and kept walking, which was fucking hilarious. So he's walking, and it looks like he's walking out of the building. So it was a little bit forced, you know, this whole shot. Like, where is he going? But he's walking, and he exits out of the building, and you can see Sami Zayn is standing outside the building, and he's looking up. He's looking up. I don't know what he's looking at. He sees a bird or something, and Jey's looking at him like, "What are you looking at?" And Sami says the first show he ever saw was in this very building. And I don't know if it was his first show, but they did mention the fact that he was in attendance at the Survivor Series in this very building in 1997 for the Montreal Screwjob. So I don't know if that was his first event or just an event that he was in attendance for. But he talked about how special this building was to him. He said tonight he returns as a champion and he would enter through the front door just as he did all those years ago. And so with that, they kept with Sammy. And now Sammy enters the building and the camera follows Sammy all the way. One long shot, one long continuous shot. There's no jump cuts. None of that nauseating bullshit that we got with Kevin Dunn before. The camera follows Sami Zayn. The fans on the concourse are mobbing him. These are his people. You know, this is his hometown, man. He grew up here. He used to go to wrestling shows in this building. So these people are swarming him as he's walking along. They start playing his music. Sami makes his entrance through the same section where Jay exited, is where Sami is now entering. There was a fan who had a Canadian flag who, you know, had it right in front of Sami. He was offering it to him. Sami took the flag. He wrapped the Canadian flag, the maple leaf, around his neck, proceeded to make his way down the steps. Now he's on the main floor, still in the crowd, looking around, soaking up the reaction, playing to the crowd. This is one of the best entrances that you will ever see. This was an all-timer entrance here on Raw. This was great. You know, it was the hometown boy coming home as the champion here in the main event, and everybody was going crazy for Sami Zayn. This was fantastic. Now, Chad Gable was shown backstage at the gorilla position, getting ready to come out, and they booed him when they showed him on the Tron. Bronson Reed then walked up to Gable and said that whoever wins tonight, whether it's you or whether it's Sami, you're not going to be champion for very long because that person will have to answer to him. And with that, they played Chad Gable's music and he made his way out to the ring. And after a break, it was time for our main event. Sami Zayn defending the Intercontinental title in Montreal against Chad Gable. Sami had the upper hand early on before a break. They took a break 60 seconds into the match. They do this with every fucking match on this show now. After the break, Gable was in control. He had a diving headbutt for a two count. They showed Sammy's wife, Khadijah, in the front row. She is, I gotta say, Sammy's wife, when it comes to her facial expressions and the way she reacts to these situations, she's fantastic. I mean, if they don't have her on payroll, they should put her on payroll. She's great. You know, she reacts exactly the way that you would want her to. I wouldn't be surprised if they just tell her or Sami is just like, look, react as if it were a shoot. Just pretend it's real and react in the way that you would normally naturally react, right? You'd be at ringside cheering for your husband. And when something bad happens to your husband, right, you would react accordingly. So she's always great when they show her on camera. Gable targeted Sammy's leg. He applied an ankle lock. Sami, though, knocked him outside the ring and followed with a springboard moonsault. And he landed, you know, the way he landed, it looked great, but I was, like, his right ankle, it looked like he almost rolled it, but he was all right. So after one final commercial, Gable hits an avalanche angle slam that they replayed for us. Great height on this thing. Tough landing for Sami, but I thought it looked great. Gable followed with consecutive German suplexes. Sami followed with two Germans of his own. Gable switched and hit another German, so Sami did the same. They countered each other over and over again until Sami nailed a released German suplex, and my fucking God, the way he dropped this man, Gable landed very awkwardly on his neck and his shoulder. And the referee, Rod Zapata, he was right there, immediately went down to check on Gable. Gable said he was okay, but yikes, that looked really bad. So Zayn hit an exploder in the corner, and he went for a haluva kick. Gable, though, picked his leg and applied an ankle lock. Sami was split open above the left eye. Didn't see how it happened, but got a little bit of blood. Sami rolled out of the ankle lock. Gable went up top, and he jumped right into a powerbomb. Sami went for a sharpshooter because, of course, it's Montreal. You got to try at least one sharpshooter here, but he didn't get it. Because as he was crossing the legs and he went to go turn over, his ankle gave out. So he fell over. He couldn't apply the hold. Sami got to his feet, still selling the ankle. He went for a haluva kick. Gable avoided it and again put Sami in an ankle lock. Gable pulled Sami back to the center of the ring as he was reaching for the ropes. And Sami rolled out of it into a pin for a two count. Gable charged at him, and Sami caught him with an exploder. Then he hit the haluva kick, fell to the ground, clutching his ankle. But then he crawled over, and he covered Gable, and he got the three count to retain the Intercontinental title. They went almost 20 minutes here. This was a hell of a battle between these two. That right there is what the Intercontinental Championship was all about when Gunther had that title. You would go out on TV and have matches just like that on a regular basis against people like Sami Zayn and Chad Gable, and I think Tommaso Ciampa. They had a great TV match once. That's what that whole run was all about. It was about restoring prestige to a title that really had just become just the prop that was passed back and forth and didn't really have any value to it. And Gunther changed it. And you hope when the day comes that he loses that championship, whoever they put it on, they will continue that. And they did that tonight with Sami Zayn. He went out there with Gable. They had a great main event. It was a great atmosphere, right, because of where they were, given that Sami had all of his people there rooting him on. So Sami's wife, they showed her applauding in the front row. He put the belt in the middle of the ring, and then he pointed at Gable, who was in the corner. Gable was beside himself. He was all emotional and almost in tears. He couldn't believe that he lost. Sami helped him to his feet, tried to raise his arm. Gable, though, instead, he raised Sami's arm. And then he left the ring. And I thought to myself, can't be it, right? Something's got to happen here. Maybe Bronson Reed's going to come out and squash him or something with Gable. Because at this point, I'm getting a little worried now. I'm thinking, is this really one and done for Chad Gable? Is that it? It can't be. They can't screw this guy over like this, right? He already lost going into WrestleMania. Now he loses coming out of WrestleMania. Now it's back to the bottom rung of the ladder for this guy. Sami goes outside the ring. And he walks over to, and I don't know, it may have been his father. It was either his father or maybe his father-in-law. There's a man in the front row next to Sammy's wife who hugged him. And then Sami went to hug Khadijah. And as Sami is going to hug his wife, all of a sudden, Chad Gable comes up from behind Sami Zayn and literally pulls this man away from his wife in mid-hug. And he gives Sami Zayn a German suplex on the floor. And I actually think that they should have lingered a little bit on Sami's wife, and they didn't do that just to show the horror on her face. But Gable loses it, and he picks up Sami, throws him into the ring post, throws him over the announce desk. Then he gets him back up on the apron. He runs him into the ring post. So now Sami is kind of like laying there in between the turnbuckles. Chad Gable climbs up on the middle rope, and he applies an ankle lock through the ropes. Never seen this before. He's got an ankle lock applied to Sami Zayn through the ropes. Now, they're on the same side of the ring, right? Gable is facing down on the same side of the ring where Sami's family is and where his wife is in the front row as Gable is wrenching down on the ankle, yelling at him. And that's how they went off the air. They went off the air with him torturing this man in front of his wife, just like Gunther tortured Chad Gable and beat him and embarrassed him in front of his own daughter. And remember where the daughter was sitting, in that same spot, right? Not in the same building, but on that same side of the ring, possibly in that same seat. That's where Chad Gable's daughter was sitting, crying her little eyes out when Chad lost to Gunther on Raw back in September. Only this time, Gable is torturing this man in front of his wife. A little bit of symbolism there. So this was fantastic. And this is what Chad Gable needs. If this is what it's going to take, as great of a babyface story as they squandered, if this is what it takes to get this man a serious push, then I'm all for it. But he has to start winning matches. Now you got Gable the wrestling machine, who will do anything and run through anybody to get the Intercontinental title. This man will not quit. This man will not rest until he wins this championship. This is now his sole focus and mission going forward. Now, Bronson Reed already made it clear he's got next. That may be the backlash match, Sami Zayn and Bronson Reed. But this is not the end of Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. And I likened it to Randy Orton and Christian. This is a feud that you can drag out, that this thing could play itself out over a period of months. This could take us through the end of the summer, as far as the Intercontinental title is concerned. So I am very much looking forward to many more matches, at least one more, if not many more matches, between Chad Gable and Sami Zayn after the one we saw tonight. Hopefully this was only the beginning. of what may end up being a trilogy when all is said and done. You could do a stipulation match between these two. You could do a submission match. You could do a 30-minute Iron Man match. There's any number of things you can do. A 30-minute Iron Man match actually would be, I think, a really good idea. I feel like 60 for these two, as great as it would be, it might be a little too much for the WWE audience. I feel like if you're not using guys that are like top stars, which Chad Gable is not positioned as a top star in this company, they're not going to have a lot of tolerance, I think, for a 60-minute match where you tell them in advance that it's going 60 minutes. You cut that in half, though, and you could get a pay-per-view match or a TV match out of that. I would love to see that. And then imagine building the drama with Sammy and everything, who's so good at this. Building drama down the stretch as the clock is ticking down. Like, there's so many possibilities that you can go with here. But this was a fantastic main event. And it ended what I thought overall was a good Raw. Again, there were too many segments on the show that fell flat to me for this to be a great show. They're trying, I mean, that you want them to give television time to people who don't get a lot of television time. I don't see, though, how doing 2-minute matches with the women is going to get them over. It's almost the same problem they had with the women before the whole give divas a chance thing, where they would come out and get 30 seconds. When you're sending these women out there and you're giving them 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, no one is getting over. Nobody will get over. This is not Bill Goldberg going out there and squashing guys in 90 seconds. Nobody will get over this way. You need to have a women's division that has some stars, not just one or two, and then give them time to go out there, to have matches. They don't have to be super long, but have them go out there, have longer matches, do more backstage segments with them so they can flesh out their characters and their stories. They're not doing any of that. Is it any wonder why you have these women, Ivy Nile and Candice LeRae and these people that go out there and nobody gives a fuck? What are they really doing to flesh out these characters? They're not doing anything. They're not giving you a reason to care. That's why you get these crowds that end up being so quiet and apathetic, because they don't give a shit. That has to change. And that's on Triple H, right? That's the thing. When you anoint yourself the head of a new era, and you put your name on everything, right? That's great. It's kind of like an ego thing. That's great, but you also have to take credit for the bad stuff, too. You don't just get credit for the good stuff. You get credit for the stuff that isn't working. And that's on you. You can't just pass that off to Vince McMahon. You can't pass it off to Bruce. You can't pass it off to the writer who wrote the segment. You get the blame for that, too. That really is the Achilles heel in Triple H's booking right now. Frankly, is the women's division on both shows, but especially on Monday Night Raw. Use the draft coming up to shake things up and get some more people, get some fresh faces on this show. And when you do, all the things that I just talked about, you have to do those things as well. It's not enough to just move the pieces around like a chessboard. You've got to flesh out these characters. You've got to give them time. You've got to give people a reason to care. And if you can do that, then you can turn things around with the women's division. And I would say the same thing to Tony Khan. He has a lot of the same problems in AEW, but it's a very noticeable problem here on Monday Night Raw. Here's a Twitter poll. How would you rate tonight's Raw here from Montreal? We've got 1,300 votes in so far. 81% thumbs up. How about that? 13% thumbs in the middle. And just shy of 6% thumbs down. So another very positive score for Raw. I don't think I would have gone quite that high, but it was a good show overall. I'm not hating on Raw. I just 81% good? Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not so sure about that. Let's get to your super chats here. See what you guys thought of tonight's show, as we always do. I want to say thank you to everybody who has dropped a dono tonight. We had some early ones come in. I'll tackle those first here before we get to this list. I see Aaron. We're going to get to Aaron here in a second. Aaron dropped a couple of big bombs on us. So we'll get to Aaron. Thank you, though, by the way, to the just shy of 2,000 rocking with me here on a Monday night. Love to see it. Let's kick things off here with the real CS02. Says Drew McIntyre's contract supposedly ends in 5 to 6 weeks, I think they are going to the Punk angle in 2011, where he leaves, quote unquote, leaves with the title. But this time they are going to do it right. You know, I saw that message before and I kind of had a similar thought, and I like the idea, because you could have Drew under contract tell people that he's not. If he wins the world title in Glasgow, if he challenges for it, let's say, and wins the title at Clash at the Castle, you could do a very similar angle if you wanted to. You know, that could be another way of him kind of burning CM Punk. Look, see, I'm just like you, only I do everything that you do better than you do. Like some variation of that. I think that could work. I wouldn't necessarily mind seeing that. We have got Leo. Leo, what's going on? Leo Franco with the $10 super chat. Says, Friday, when Solo said that wins matter, I think he is also talking about Roman's loss. Also, when he said, by the orders of the tribal chief, he might be talking about The Rock's orders. What are your thoughts? That's exactly what I said in my review. So, I said, look, we're going to get Roman's bloodline against Rock's bloodline. You'll have Roman and the Usos reunited on one side. And on the other side, you'll have Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, probably Jacob Fatu. And the strings are being pulled by The Rock. It'll eventually be revealed. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Joseph Brooks, do you think this awesome truth run has been The Miz's best babyface run of his career? In the past, they tried it, and it has failed. Yeah, I mean, you're setting the bar pretty low here, because we don't really have a great body of babyface work for Miz to draw from. I will say, you know, when they turned him babyface, he ended up being more over than I expected him to be. But he's over at a certain level. You know, he's not over at a main event level. I don't want to see him in main events. I don't think most people would buy him as, you know, challenging for the world title, holding the world title again. But where he is right now, you know, it's not a bad spot. Middle of the card. He's tag team champion right now. The fans took to him more than I thought they would, though. Let's see. Kentucky Dried Chicken is with us tonight. The new era of WWE is making pro wrestling cool. I love seeing the representation within the company. Pro wrestling embraces representation. We have got... Man, we got a bunch of them here, don't we? We have got a bunch of them here. Also says AEW is not dead, but their credibility has died after releasing the all-in security footage. AEW has to ask themselves, why aren't we cool? Yeah, again, I don't know where the whole the AEW is dead stuff is coming from, but don't listen to those people. Donnie Yasu with the $10 super chat. With new changes to the show trickling in, when do you think we will start getting a focus on better music? Not just wrestler themes, but to the show. Triple H injected NXT with lots of rock and rap. He did. I'm surprised we haven't gotten Poppy on the main roster yet. I thought for sure Triple H was going to bring Poppy in. Been no Poppy so far. Yeah, the music is very lame. That is something they need to improve on for sure. Bobby's World says, following up on the Rhea, Liv, Mandy questions from Friday, which female in wrestling history would you like to have lunch at McDonald's, play Connect for, and have a hearty handshake with? Me and Katrina from Lucha Underground will go off on our own, and you guys can do your own thing. How about that? Always a Katrina guy. Kentucky Dried Chicken, AEW has a lot of questions to ask themselves about low attendance and how to fix it. Yes, we know this. We know this already. This is not any sort of big revelation here. Prince Vegeta says, I don't wish injury on anybody, but Rhea Ripley was starting to become the Roman Reigns of the women's division. She barely wrestled. Get better soon. Joshua Edwards, Creed's training with Gable may be foreshadowing. Sammy versus Gable at Backlash, and the Creeds distract Sammy to help Gable win the belt. Says, commercials suck, by the way.
I wouldn't mind that. You know what, though? It would almost... I could see people complaining about how, oh, you're just ripping off Team Angle if you do that.
But I could get behind that. You know, heel Gable with the Creeds. You get like a little trio going on. Because the Alpha Academy, the Alpha Academy's done.
The Creeds and Gable as heels, I like that. I actually like that idea a lot.
But I'm not sure he's getting the match of Backlash. Because Bronson Reed, I mean, could be a triple threat. They love their triple threats lately.
I'm not sure they're jumping right back into Sammy and Gable this quickly, though. We'll see where Bronson Reed ends up in all this.
Arabian Knight, thoughts on WWE doing Summer of Punk 2011 story with Drew, pushing real-life elements and frustrations regarding his contract and not being champion, Pipebomb 2.0.
Yeah, we just talked about that. I think they could do something like that. I think it could be fun.
You know, it still bothers me that they really fucked that whole thing up in 2011. I mean, they could have really had some fun with that. You know, Punk, I'm going to take the title. Maybe I'll go to Ring of Honor. Maybe I'll go to New Japan. And I didn't expect him to go to New Japan with it, but there was so much potential there. And he was gone for a week. And then they brought him back, and it's like, what a waste.
The Real CS says, hey, Solo, second super chat of the night. Just wanted to let you know, and the rest of the Green World Order in the chat, that yesterday was my 22nd birthday. Had a great time. Well, how about that? Happy birthday to the Real CS, everybody in the chat. Wishes him a very happy birthday. I don't know what you did for your birthday, but apparently you had fun, which is all that matters, so that's awesome.
Corey Everett says, you're the man, Solo. Too sweet, me brother. There you go. There you go. Love you, man. Been a listener since 2012. Appreciate all that you do.
Corey, thank you, man. That means a lot. I appreciate you.
Man, there's so many here. I want to make sure I don't miss some of the earlier ones. Boy. Here we go. There's Corey.
Corey says, no flex zone. They now got... Don't start with that. That's all I hear now every time I watch these shows.
What is with that? What is that, Wingstop? Is that what that is?
They know better. They know better.
I'd be copyright struck if I keep singing it. Fucking song.
Aaron, with that first $50 super chat. Aaron, man, holy shit.
So it is for sure going to be Sammy versus Chad at Backlash, right? I love Chad's heel turn, but if he loses again, what does he do? I have a hard time seeing him lose again for that title. I feel as though if he does, his chase for the belt is over.
It's exactly what I said before. He's got to win. He's got to start winning.
That's why I'm okay if they want to hold off and do Bronson Reed first against Sami Zayn, because you can't have Gable go in there and lose again. You can't. You can't do it.
First of all, you have to justify him even getting another shot.
I can understand Sami Zayn saying, okay, look, this guy, you know, he embarrassed me in front of my wife, in front of my family. You know, he goes to Adam Pearce, he begs him for a shot. I'll put my belt on the line. I don't care. You know, you could always do that, but whenever they do that match, they need to make sure they are prepared to put that belt on Chad Gable. Because if he goes in there again and loses, it's over. Like, I'm not even going to want to see him wrestle Sami Zayn again after that. He cannot lose the next match. He has to win. I don't care if it's Backlash. I don't care if it's some other event. They just need to know that when they're ready to put them back in the ring together, there better be a title change at the end of that match, because if not, Chad Gable as a heel, Chad Gable as a babyface, Chad Gable as a serious threat is done. He's finished. And that's the end of it.
So you're absolutely right.
Jerome, what is your favorite one-time WWE champion? For me, it is the Ultimate Warrior.
Man, I was going to say Macho Man, but he's a two-time champion.
All my favorites were multiple-time champions. Savage, Brett, Kurt, So you want me to put Austin? So you want me to pick my favorite one-time champion? That's harder than I thought it would be. That is harder than I thought it would be. I'm reminded of poor Rey Mysterio. I'm not picking him. I'm just saying. I still feel bad for him. God. I don't know. I'm going to have to think on that, man. Give me a little bit. Let me think on that. I don't really have a favorite one-time champion. I mean, maybe... Just because the moment of him winning was so special, maybe Eddie Guerrero, you know, for that win over Brock in No Way Out. I know it wasn't like a terribly eventful run that he had. He did beat Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 20, though. They had a pretty good match. So, you know, maybe Eddie? I don't know. Seymour Tang. In my opinion, Chad Gable's heel turn was needed. Makes him more interesting and keeps him relevant. It's all about the booking. All about the booking. They book him right, this could be something special. If not, it's not going to make a difference. Alex says, Brother Solo, with many cities wanting to host a WrestleMania, what are your thoughts on WWE hosting night one of Mania in one city and night two in a completely different city? I'm not really a fan of the idea. I think logistically that sounds like a nightmare, and I just am not a fan of it. So I would keep it to one city. One city wins the bidding. You host it in that city. You could already have the city for the next year lined up. I think that's the way to go. I just think logistically, I don't think it works. Especially if you need... There's going to be a lot of staff. I mean, I don't think people fully grasp the effort that is involved with their staff in setting up the stage. How expensive it is. Now you're talking about constructing it twice. Yeah, that's just not going to work. Because remember, it's not like they show up the morning of and they set this thing up. I mean, they start setting up a week, maybe a little more than a week in advance. It's just not... I feel like financially, it's just not practical. Like, why would you do that? But Alex, thank you, man, for that $32 drop. I appreciate that. Creflo, half dollar, did you do your taxes, Solomonster? Yes, Uncle Sam, yes, I did. I did my taxes during that Maxine Dupri match during Raw. We've got Mutahir Majid with the $10 super chat. I hope I pronounced that right. Says, Gable has all the right to be frustrated. His daughter was robbed of the moment that Sammy's wife ended up getting and seeing a loved one overcome the odds, win the title, and beat Gunther. So he thinks it is a justified turn. Chad Gable is no heel to him. Aaron with another $50 drop. Incoming double turn with Liv and Rhea. Brother, already played out tonight. The double turn is already in progress. You saw it with your own eyes on this show tonight. Seymour with the $10 super chat. Seymour says, what does Seymour say here? Liv is much more interesting as a heel, and Rhea needs a top heel, or Raw needs a top heel. As a face, she was bland. Her Ronda feud almost buried her. Yeah, her Ronda feud is not exactly one that a lot of people, I think, are going to look back on and say, man, I can't wait to go back and relive that. You and I are in agreement on that. GMB with a $5 super chat. How would you rank these matchups in order? Ilya and Gable, Gunther and Oba. He's talking about Oba Femi from NXT. Hey, Bobby, thank you, man. Thank you for the $5 super chat. Braun Breaker and Jacob Fatu. There's a match I didn't know I needed. Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes, Andrade and Sheamus. How would I rank them by matches that I would like to see? I mean, sign me up for... I want to see Braun Breaker and Jacob Fatu. I'm putting that at the top of my list. I want Braun and Fatu... And then I would like to see Gunther and Oba, and then Gable and Ilya, and then Andrade and Sheamus, and then Cody and Sammy. In that order. Uffman says, wait, there's a new era in WWE. I wish they would tell us so. Yeah, I wish I would hear it from them too. They don't say it enough. Love Lie. The hate that Liv is getting is ridiculous. Double standards are everywhere. I truly despise the IWC. DEH Sires, what killed the Raw women's division is Triple H made that show all about pairing tag teams for tag titles aside from Rhea and Becky. Yes, tag titles that don't mean shit. You're absolutely right. That's one of the issues. Put together a whole bunch of teams to justify having a set of tag team belts for which they have no actual division. And so in the end, nobody really won out of this. Instead of, like, you're saying, okay, we'll put these teams together, and so we'll build the division, and we'll build up the women's tag team titles more, and then in the end, by doing what they did, they just killed everything, because nobody cares. Now the belts are over on SmackDown. Bianca and Jade are going to win them, and it's more about the eventual Bianca-Jade match. It's like the belts are sort of a means to an end if they win them. They're pointless. They have no real division. They're pointless. I would rather see, and I think, frankly, that what would be more valuable, story-wise, booking-wise, would be to have a women's intercontinental title. I mean, that's what I've been pitching now for a while. And if that were to go well, you could always introduce a women's U.S. title later on. I don't think it's necessary. But I'd rather have that and have that replace the women's tag team titles. I mean, that's the point that I've been making. I wouldn't have both, but instead of focusing so heavily on we need teams here, so we'll pair this person up with that person and that person with this person, just have a secondary women's title. Have a women's intercontinental title. And I think that would be a far more useful tool than having a set of tag belts that nobody cares about. The Carlosis with the $11. Any talent in the NXT women's division that you think are worth strapping a rocket to try and fill this gap in the talent on the main roster at the moment? Anybody currently in the NXT women's division? I mean, I don't even think you need to look there. You mean to replace like the gap with like Rhea and Becky being out right now on the Raw side? I mean, you could just use Tiffany Stratton. You know, you don't even need to necessarily call up somebody from NXT to fill that particular spot. I do think that we'll see in the draft, Roxanne Perez, I'd be surprised. I mean, she's the champion right now, but it's not like they haven't called people up before who were champions in NXT. I like Tatum Paxley. Yeah, I'm a fan of hers. I don't know if they're going to call her up or not. Sol Ruka, but she's not ready for a call-up yet. Again, they have a lot of talent down there. I don't know that a lot of them are necessarily ready for prime time. Roxanne is, though. Roxanne is, and Lyra will probably see her at some point in the not-too-distant future. But, no, I mean, they have the talent. They just got to do a better job of mixing them up, moving some names over from SmackDown, and then you can call up one or two, like a Roxanne from NXT. They got to get some star power. It's not even necessarily just NXT people. They need a star to replace the stars that are missing. Bianca is a star. Charlotte is a star. I know people don't want to hear that, but Charlotte is a star who, as soon as she's ready to, you know she's going to be back in the women's title picture. You don't have to like it. I don't have to like it, but you know that that's exactly what's going to happen. It's just a matter of when does she get clear. Supposedly, she was healing up at like a record pace. She has like a freakish healing ability, and she'll probably be back in 2 months at this rate. I don't think we're going to have to wait that much longer to see Charlotte back in the ring. But it's about filling the holes, filling the gaps there with stars that, you know, people are going to want to see instead of building up people that nobody really knows who they are. That takes time. Christopher says, I just yeeted myself. That's what Pat McAfee said. Yeah, Pat McAfee says a lot of stupid things on commentary. Travis McDowell, Rest in peace, former APW champion Tony Jones. Probably best known for his tryout match in Beyond the Mat. One of the nicest guys I've met in the wrestling business. Yes, rest in peace to Tony Jones. I believe he was only in his 50s, I believe. DEH Sires, Liv winning the title next week needs to go full Drew. Well, if she's going to win the title, it's like I said, full wacko. Just full psycho Liv. Just go all the way with it. Aaron with the $5 says, Rowan, Braun, Bo, and Alexa in the Wyatt Six. Who are the final two? You mentioned Dexter and Nikki. Just feel like it has to be bigger than them. I don't think it has to be bigger than them. If you've got Braun in there, Braun, you know, Braun was a pretty big name before he got hurt. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to put, who are you going to put in there? Trying to think of who would you even consider putting in that group that, like, gimmick-wise would fit? A Cameron Grimes? But that's not, like, a big name. You know, I mean, who else really fits? Who would fit in a Wyatt Six that you would consider to be a big name? The big names don't need to be in the Wyatt Six. You know, unless they're leading the group, and that's Bo. You know, that's Uncle Howdy. I don't think you need a big name in there outside of those. DEH says, it's in Ohio next week, so I think DIY are winning. Nah, that's a good point. They are in Ohio next week. We'll see. You know, Truth got his moment at WrestleMania. I don't need to see Truth and Miz holding on to the belts for a long period of time. If they lose them next week, great. I'd love to see Ciampa and Gargano get the gold. I'm just not sure they're going to take the belts away from Truth and Miz this quickly after they just got them. Base Beerus, God of Seduction. Could LA Knight benefit? There's a super chat for you. Big Dick Johnson over there. Could LA Knight benefit by not having a title for another year or so? He stands out regardless if he's in a good program. Also, Logan to New Japan. Logan Paul? No. As far as LA Knight, would he benefit by not having a title? No. He's already challenged for titles and lost. He has to win at some point. The U.S. title is what Logan Paul needs to win, or rather, LA Knight needs to win from Logan Paul. Retro KOH. I just want a Rey Mysterio heel turn. Deadbeat dad Rey, in and out of rehab and AA meetings, whooping Dom with a belt. We find out he wears a mask to hide his shame. There's a kernel of a story here somewhere. Let's build this story out a little bit more. Alex says, what are your thoughts on adding a new layer to the Bloodline story where, similar to the Team WWE versus Nexus match back at SummerSlam 2010, we have a Team WWE versus Bloodline match? No, I mean, it's a Bloodline Civil War. We don't need Team WWE against the Bloodline. The war with the Bloodline is coming from within. That's the story. The story, all these other people that have feuded with the Bloodline before, LA Knight and Drew McIntyre and Sami Zayn, it's old news. It's done. Now the war is from within. Prince Vegeta says, I understand why he left that clown show ran by the Snowman, but what is Andrade's ceiling by coming back to WWE? Definitely don't see him as a world champion. I don't either. I think his ceiling is U.S. or Intercontinental Champion, and I think he wanted to come back in part because he wanted to, you know, be on the road with his wife. I think whatever brand he ends up on is the brand that Charlotte is going to end up on. It's as simple as that. Like, I think when Malakai Black's contract is up with AEW, I'd be shocked if he doesn't go back to WWE. Triple H would take him back in a heartbeat. You know, he was pushing him to the moon in NXT. He would take him back in a heartbeat. Not a doubt in my mind. Uffman says, if the World Heavyweight Champion moves to SmackDown, do you move Miz and Truth as well, or tag team title swap. I don't want another belt swap, please. No more belt swaps. Haven't we had enough of these already? Dev to Dust, favorite Phil Collins song. Easy Lover. Kells. The 999. How long do you think Cody holds the title for? I think he has an AJ Styles-esque run. By the way, I think if Rhea doesn't get hurt, she holds that belt for at least 700 plus days. What do you think? Yeah, I think she would have held the belt until losing it probably to Bianca. I think that would have been the eventual match. Cody is not losing the title before SummerSlam. And I could see Cody going at least a year with that belt. But no sooner than SummerSlam. And if he makes it to SummerSlam, it depends who he wrestles. I could see him walking into WrestleMania next year with the title. M. Mills, thank you for the $10 super chat. Very kind of you. Arabian Knight with five. Say what you want about Tony Khan. He may only have one women's match or segment per show, but at least he gives them longer than 3 minutes in the ring to try to get over. Well, it's hard to get over when the match is butchered by a four-minute commercial break that takes up more than half the match. Again, I ask you, how can they get over when half the match is in a little box in the corner of the screen? I'm not so sure. That's, I think, one of the reasons why people argue for more women's matches on Dynamite. It's because when you do get one, and it happens to, you know, some of the men's matches too, but when you get them, because there's so fewer women's matches on that show than men's matches, the one that you get is always interrupted by a commercial break. So the actual amount of time that airs full screen is maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes. It really is not that much better. Base Beerus says babyface Miz is frog-faced Miz. So is heel Miz. It's always had a frog face. Nothing wrong with that. Maurice fell in love with a frog face. Arabian Knight, with Hikuleo maybe coming to WWE, by orders of Rock, he takes out Solo, and then at Survivor Series, or is that SummerSlam? Survivor Series. A six-man tag representing Roman, Usos, and Solo against, versus representing Rock, Fatu, Tama, and Hikuleo. War Games includes Rock and Roman 4-on-4. Boy, there's a lot of people assuming that Rock would actually wrestle in War Games. I'm not so sure about that. Hikuleo's contract with New Japan is set to be up in June. We have no idea whether or not he wants to come to WWE. I don't see why he wouldn't. I'm sure he must. And I'm sure they would be interested in him. There was said to be interest the last time, but he ended up staying in New Japan. I think that was when Jay White's contract was up. I think they both had contracts that were coming up, and Hikuleo stayed. Base Beerus says, Dino Nuggets or Hot Pockets? Dino Nuggets. I've never had a Hot Pocket in my life. El Prezcat, if you were Vince, what do you do with the stock cash? I'd buy a nice mausoleum. Make it look real nice. Extra spacious for when the day comes. That's what I do. Corey Everett, love you, Solo. They know better. They know better. Fucking song, man. I get that song. I hear that song in my nightmares. Shawnee in the Wrestling with the 999. Ripley's run has been lackluster. I think that is due to two divisions. It's a strong roster, not strong enough for a division. If you are looking for a good title match, Raw versus Natty. Raw versus Natty? Is that... What? Raw versus Natty is a hidden 2023 gem. I have no idea what you're talking about. It's a funny typo, though. But I have no idea what match you're talking about. Zachariah Sitchin with the 999. I'm having a tough time thinking it will lead to a 4-on-4 bloodline war game. Sammy is just an honorary Oos. It's got to be 3-on-3. Like you said, Rock reveals himself as the tribal chief. Yeah, I mean, you could do 3-on-3. There's no problem with that. There's no rule that says it has to be 4-on-4 or 5-on-5. Bobby Means. Could we see both Roxanne Perez and Lyra Valkyria both go to Raw? That would improve the Raw women's division by a mile. I think Tiffy Time wins gold. Now, I think Tiffany Stratton wins Money in the Bank. That's what I think. Money in the Bank or Queen of the Ring, I think, is going to belong to Tiffany Stratton. And yes, we could see Roxanne and or Lyra easily in the draft. There's a reason why Roxanne was on Raw last week. Roxanne and Ilya, I would think, are very... I mean, they got to be at the top of the list. Now, that's two NXT champions. So, would they both go? Probably not both of them. But I think there's a very good chance at least one of them is going to get drafted. Barry MK says, you probably did not understand my super chat from when the stream started. It was from an old cartoon called Ed, Ed, and Eddie. I don't think I ever saw that cartoon. That was not on my list of cartoons. Thank you, Barry. Base Beerus, intergender tag matches and be the booker. We don't have them. We don't have them, and right now the answer is no. Aaron with a 1999. AJ versus Cody. They'll tear the house down. It's exactly what we're going to get at Backlash. It's going to be AJ Styles against Cody Rhodes. Arabian Knight, surprised WWE has not gotten Camille. She would fill a void. They offered her an NXT contract, and she turned it down. And I think she's more likely to end up in AEW than WWE. Bruce Taylor, I hope whatever they do with Uncle Howdy is good. Thanks for the great shows. Been listening since Mania 30. Bruce, thank you, man. That's 10 years. It's a long time. Nick Grasso with the 999. With Candice and Indy turning heel, do you think Gargano and Ciampa turn heel and they bring back The Way? Also, another name in the Wyatt Six could be Joe Gacy. He is ready for a main roster call-up. Yep, Gacy would fit. You know, again, Gacy's not a big name, but Gacy would definitely fit into that whole faction. So, Nick, thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you, brother. Yeah, Joe Gacy and the Wyatt Six, I could definitely see. That I can definitely see. All right, so the gold tonight for Be the Booker was 450 likes. We are currently sitting at one shy of 600. Who will be number 600? Thank you. Helps out the video a lot when you do so. Let's go ahead and Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Thank you. And we just passed 600 likes on the live stream. You guys know what to do. You guys are always there to back me up. You guys know the drill. All right, here we go. Tag team Be the Booker. It's how we start this out. I don't know why the stipulation one is still on. We saved the stipulation. You know what? Well, I'll tell you what. Since it's already on, we'll do stipulations. I usually save stipulations for special occasions. Tonight is officially a special occasion because you are all with me. So we're going to begin here with a what are we doing here? There we go, Inferno match. So we're booking a tag team Inferno match. I don't think there's ever been a tag team Inferno match. I think what we are about to book. Oh look, that's there you go. That doesn't count, but. Jericho and Big Show, now you know they're in there. Jericho. All right, Tag Team Inferno match. That sounds like a terrible idea when you have flames coming up from the aprons of the ring, all around the apron of the ring where people stand to make the tag. So obviously it would have to be tornado rules because otherwise you're going to have Burning Man on the fucking apron. We have the New Day. Pick whatever combination you want. I guess we have to go with Kofi and Woods. We're going to be realistic about this. New Day in a tag team inferno match taking on, now that's funny, three men in the New Day, three men in the Fabulous Freebirds. Just for that alone, I'll give it the bell. The New Day and the Freebirds. There you go. That works. That works. Again, I don't know how the Inferno aspect would turn out. Probably not too well. Randall says, I stopped eating at Wingstop because that commercial is so annoying. It is fucking annoying. It is very annoying. All right, women's Be the Booker. Oh my God, it's Athena. I did what Tony Khan has only done once in the last 2 years. I booked Athena in a match, a televised match. Can you believe Athena was actually on the Battle of the Belt special against Red Velvet the other night? That was the first AEW match that she had televised in 2 years. Or, I'm sorry, the second one in 2 years. Two matches in 2 years. Fucking ridiculous. All right, so we have Athena going one-on-one with Deonna Purrazzo, which is actually a match that we could very well see on AEW television. That is a match that they actually can do. All right, one to go. We're two for two so far. Let's keep this momentum going here. Well, there he is, the undisputed WWE champion, making his Be the Booker debut for the first time since becoming champion. Cody Rhodes is in Be the Booker in the main event where he belongs. And if he's the champion, then that means he's got to defend his title. So this is officially a title match. We have a title match here in the main event of Be the Booker. Cody Rhodes defending the title against Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks. Hey, you know what? Say what you want to say about the Bucks. Nick Jackson and Cody Rhodes, it'd be a hell of a match. Personal opinions aside, whatever they may be, and I'm sure everybody's got one when it comes to the Young Bucks. The Battle of the EVPs? Come on. That'd be a good match. CM Punk as the special guest referee. There you go. There you go. I'll tell you what. Well, yeah, it's too late. I already moved off. I was going to pick a referee, but I've already moved away. Let's see. We got some more super chats coming in here. Let's see who we got. Who do we got here? Who do we got? We got a few. We got Aaron. What does Uncle Howdy do when he returns? I have no idea what Uncle Howdy is going to do when he returns. I have no idea what Uncle Howdy was going to do before he got taken off television. I don't know if he's going to do singles matches. I don't know if he's going to do cinematic stuff. I don't know if he's going to wrestle at all. He may not wrestle. He may just lead and come out and make appearances and beat people up. Can't wrestle in that mask, I wouldn't think. I mean, I guess Bray wrestled in the Fiend mask. Anything's possible. But, I mean, that thing is gigantic, that mask. I have no idea. I will not even venture a guess about what Uncle Howdy is going to do. Base Beerus says, Andrade's ceiling is him and Charlotte against Becky and Seth at WrestleMania. Have you not learned from the mistakes of the past with Becky and Seth being put together as a team? Although it did give us that great moment with Baron Corbin.
It's a direction you can fuck.
Man, The Rock. He's got a fucking attitude, this guy. It did give us that Baron Corbin moment where he gave Becky the end of days. And then he looked over at Seth Rollins. What did he say to Seth Rollins? He called him a piece of shit or a motherfucker or something. Like, you could read his lips in the camera. That was still the greatest thing Baron Corbin has ever done in his entire career in WWE. I don't know that it will ever be topped. Slim Yoshi with the $20 super chat. Slim Yoshi says, I saw a tweet from someone saying that WWE fans are like abuse victims. Some people are like, surely this will get bad again like it used to. But it doesn't. We have good television and I'm glad for it. Do you agree? Yeah, I don't know who's saying that, but my only concern is that we have good television. And if we are getting good television, then everybody wins. It's when we get television that is nonsensical, when we get comedy that isn't funny, which we actually got on this show tonight, but it's been better. Up until tonight, it's been better on that front. When we get ridiculous segments that you would be embarrassed to be watching if somebody were to walk into the room, which used to be commonplace on this show, if we got matches that were terrible, if we got, I mean, do I need to go through all of the awful things that we sat through for years on Raw only a few years ago? And as long as we can get away from that and have generally good television shows, I don't care if it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, good wrestling, good television, that's what I want. I want things to be entertaining. I want things to be interesting. I want things to make sense. I want them to be funny when they're supposed to be funny. I want them to make me feel some kind of emotion if they're telling some kind of story. That's when wrestling is at its best. There's more good than bad right now with WWE, and for a very long time, it was the complete opposite. Now it's a 180, but before, it was a lot of bad for a long time, and I'm glad those days are seemingly behind us, but that doesn't mean it's perfect and that there won't be shit to rant about, because there always will be shit to rant about. Base Beerus says, WWE should have gotten Austin. They would have made money back, and Cody gets much bigger rub and more momentum from having Austin present. More merch sold, maybe he would have been overshadowed. Crowd would have exploded. Why Undertaker? Why Undertaker? Because they couldn't get Austin. They wanted Austin. They couldn't reach a deal. Austin didn't want to do it. So they went with Undertaker, and Undertaker got a huge reaction also. So it all worked out okay. It was very disappointing that Austin didn't get that spot, because he would have been perfect for that spot. Undertaker, at least, is talking now about how he finally got his closure. It was like a big moment for him at WrestleMania where his last match was cinematic. It wasn't in front of actual people. And he's had this thing sort of, you know, gnawing away at him ever since for the last 4 years, where he just felt like, I gotta go back. I unresolved business. And he said on his podcast that when he ran out of the ring and went to the back after he chokeslammed The Rock, he got his closure, because he was able to go out there in front of all those people, 40th WrestleMania, in a major angle, hit a big move, he played a part in it, and he felt like, okay, I finally closed the book on that chapter once and for all. So I'm happy for it. I'm happy he got the closure that he was looking for. So I know he really wanted that AJ Styles match, like a real match in front of people at WrestleMania that year. AJ, I mean, even at that point, AJ would have given him a great match. I mean, AJ would have bumped around for him. I don't know if it would have been as good as those classic Shawn Michaels matches, but it could have been. You know, we'll never know. I still love the Boneyard match, though. I still love it. Thunder Force says, could you see Athena returning to WWE at some point? Yes. Raph says, Becky said she's not on break. Unsure why the rumor. I mean, we haven't seen her for the last couple of weeks. Well, has it even been a couple of weeks? I guess not. It feels like it's been a couple of weeks since WrestleMania. She wasn't on the show last week. She wasn't on the show this week. And there was no announcement of her being on the show next week. So, sounds like a little break to me. I mean, that's why people started talking about it, because she wasn't on the show last week and she wasn't advertised for this week either. And if she's not on the show next week, that's 3 weeks. That's a break. Where's the lie? That's my Bobby Fish. Where's the lie? Uffman says, the Uncle Howdy mask is like the Phantom of the Opera Undertaker mask. Mouth and chin are free. Okay, well, then I guess he can wrestle on the mask. If he's not going to cut promos, though, I mean, that's going to get old real quick. Creflo Half Dollar, speaking of EVPs, is Cody someone you can see running WWE one day a la Triple H? I mean, I don't know if he'll have Triple H's spot, but do I think that Cody could fill a role like that? Absolutely. I think he'd be very good at it. He got a lot of praise from a lot of people in the time that he was an EVP for the EVP stuff he was doing in AEW. He got a lot of praise from a lot of people. El Prez Cat, does Rock present Jacob Fatu to Cody in a video? No. I think that Jacob Fatu could cost Jey Uso the World Heavyweight title against Damian Priest at Backlash, because Jey beat Jimmy at WrestleMania. Then they kicked Jimmy out. But you got to find a way to work Jey back into the whole Bloodline Civil War stuff and kind of remind him, like, you know, you're still part of this family, whether you like it or not. So having Fatu debut in a big spot like that and being the reason why Jey loses makes sense to me. And Aaron with $1.99. Who is Seth's first opponent when he returns? It's hard to answer that because it really depends on where he lands in the draft. I don't know what the rosters are going to look like in a few weeks, and Seth is not going to be back before the draft, so I can't really give an answer on that. It really does depend on what the rosters look like, what Raw looks like after the draft, even if he stays on Raw. And if he moves to SmackDown, who's left on SmackDown? You know, I could say that I could see Seth doing something with, you know, let's just say Bron Breakker on SmackDown, but they may not be on the same show. I actually think that would be a lot of fun. So I just don't know. I don't know. But we'll talk more about the draft as we get closer, probably next week. Put some thoughts together on who I think might go where, what moves I might make. So we'll talk about that, because the draft, again, kicks off on the 26th. So that's the final SmackDown of the month. And then the final Raw for April is night two of the draft. So it's still a few weeks away. But the next time I will be live with you will be Wednesday night for Dynamite. This is the final Dynamite before Dynasty, which is coming up on Sunday. We can forget all about the bullshit from last week. Focus on this pay-per-view coming up and the final build to the key matches, including Samoa Joe against Swerve Strickland. The Bucks are wrestling FTR in a ladder match. Probably going to get the return of Jack Perry, would be my guess, helping the Bucks win the belts. But we'll talk about that on Wednesday night. Cameron Spencer, the $4.99. Chad Gable has Kanye West heat with me. The more I see him, the more I don't want to see him. I don't hate him, but he's not my cup of tea. Well, maybe as a heel, he will be, right? Now you get to see Babyface Gable and Goofy Gable. Now you get to see Serious Chad Gable. Maybe he'll win you over. Just give him a shot. Anyway, thank you guys for all the super chat love. I appreciate it very much. Good way to kick off the week. If you missed episode 857, do make sure you go back and check that out, including the double Dark Side of the Ring review. So I caught up on the ones I didn't do. And I think this week they're doing Chris Adams, I believe. From Chris Colt last week to Chris Adams this week, the man who trained Steve Austin. And was not a very good human being from everything I know about him. So anyway, that'll be coming up. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great night. And I will see you back here for the Dynamite recap. I'll see you Wednesday. Take care, guys.